Good evening. We are going to start a series this evening on spiritual disciplines. That's kind of the common term for what we're going to talk about. In a few moments, I'm going to suggest a little bit of different phrasing that might be helpful as we think about how we might act these kinds of things out, how we might do these activities that we're going to talk about. But tonight is kind of an introduction to the topic, maybe motivational as to why we should do these things. And part of the reason why I say we do something motivational, why we might talk about the motivation for it, can be pictured by New Year's resolutions. Some of you might hear that phrase and groan inwardly, thinking about perhaps attempts that you've taken to make resolutions and fulfill them throughout a given year, lasting for a period of time that may not be very long, or perhaps you made it through a whole year working out one of those things. Maybe you think of goals as we turn the corner on a new year and think about things that we might like to accomplish in a year. There's nothing wrong with making resolutions. I like thinking through things that I could do better in the new year. But as a Christian, it's really important that we realize that we can make a lot of goals, we can set a lot of goals, and we can try really hard to accomplish those, but if we're not depending on God's help, we're not going to accomplish what's important or what we ought to be doing. As we think about New Year's resolutions, the top resolution done by people in a survey was that of exercising more. That probably comes as no surprise to you. I didn't come across what the second one was, but the third and fourth one were weight loss and healthier eating. So health is a really big deal when we talk about New Year's resolutions. Physical health is really important to people. The quality of your life is quite dependent on your health, how that works out. These statistics probably connect with us a little bit more as we think about resolutions or goals. But typically, those who join a gym in January, of those people who start in January, 4% of them quit by the end of January. 14% quit by the end of February. And by the end of 5 months, 80% of the people who have joined a gym have quit their membership and are no longer going to the gym. That's not to say they ever went to the gym during that period of time. It's just that they realized that it was coming out of their bank account and thought that they stopped paying for something they weren't using. But as we think about our spiritual growth, and our walk with God, I think we can have a tendency, whether it's on the new year or on any other kind of basis, to pursue God and to be faithful, dependent on Him for help, and then to wane in our interest pursuing God and go back, perhaps when a trial or something comes into our life, turn back to the Lord again and really seek Him. But we can vacillate back and forth because, just like we talk about with New Year's resolution exercise, we're human, and we're going to be a little bit better at doing things at certain times, not as good at other times. We're fallen, and we fail to continue in things that we plan to do. But tonight, I think it's really important that as we talk about spiritual disciplines, which, just to give you kind of an idea of what that is, if you've never heard the term, that's totally fine, but it's often used as talking about Bible intake, prayer, listening to preaching, fellowship with other believers. These things are considered spiritual disciplines or activities that we would participate in to help facilitate spiritual growth. And we can have a particular attitude towards those things. We could say, well, I'm going to check off all of these things that I know I should be doing, and we could accomplish them all, but not grow at all if our goals are in the wrong place. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about the motivation. Why should we pursue these activities? And really, we're going to point to the fact that we shouldn't be pursuing these activities in and of themselves. Anyone can read through the Bible in a year or can make sure that they pray for 10 minutes a day. In fact, many religions require those kinds of things, perhaps not a length of time, but a number of times, things like that. But when we follow Christ, we are not seeking to adhere to a list of rules. Now, as a result of following Christ, we will obey what He says to do. So it's not that we don't follow His commands. Christ said, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. But it's a result of the work that he's doing in our heart. It's not an exterior attempt to do good things. Because if we live like that after we've trusted in Christ, it's just as bad as if before we've trusted in Christ, we think that we can be saved by doing good works. The same kind of attitude. And perhaps in one case, we have the hope of heaven in the future, and in the other case, we don't. But the attitude is the same, saying, I can do what I need to do on my own, and I don't need God's help. So that's something that's very important for us to think about as we get into this topic. So, as we think about spiritual disciplines, why are we talking about it? Well, to start out, this is the beginning of a new year, so it's a good time to kind of evaluate where we are and the things that we're doing. For those of you who are younger, perhaps you have a plan to read through the Bible, or maybe your parents have given you a devotional book or something like that. Maybe your family works through the Bible. And this would be a time to just consider, what are you going to do in this new year to learn more about God? Because we're going to see a little bit later that knowing God is the best possible thing that we could do with our lives. Seeking to pursue Him and know Him more is the way that we find fulfillment in our lives and the resulting actions that we take because of that. So that's kind of why the topic at this time here. And we're going to work through the different ideas, things like with Bible intake, reading your Bible, but we're also going to address the fact that if you read your Bible, that's not enough, because you can read any book and put it down, walk away, and be completely unchanged, not even be able to tell someone 5 minutes later what you are reading. But Scripture is very clear that we're not just to read it, we are to have it flowing through us. We're to meditate on it consistently. And part of that, too, is to work on memorizing. And I'm sure that probably if you've been at church for any length of time or been to Sunday school classes like that, perhaps you've memorized Scripture. And those things are wonderful as well. But as we think about memorizing Scripture and reading the Bible, those two activities may not change us very much unless we meditate on God's Word. So we're going to talk about each of those different aspects as we go along in the following weeks and how we can do those activities. Before we do that, we want to make sure that we're doing it for the right reason. So we're going to look, first of all, at how God gives us grace but expects effort from us. So you might be thinking, when you come to the idea of doing these things, perhaps you've had the attitude of, I know I need to read my Bible every day, so I'm going to do that. And so you focus perhaps on the side of your effort and the things that you need to do. And that's not wrong. Say I'm going to make sure that I'm getting the Bible in every day and pursuing God in that way. But that alone is not enough. We have to depend on God's grace. Or perhaps you've tended on the side of God's grace. And having gone through seminary and hearing a lot about God's grace, very appropriate, I think about how much God is working in me and the things that He's doing in my heart. But that can give me a tendency to think, well, I missed reading my Bible this day. That's okay. It's not a big deal. And then before I know it, it's been 2 days or 3 days, and I say, whoa, I need to go back, seek the Lord. That's what God has commanded me to do. And apart from pursuing Him, there's not going to be any change in my life. There's not going to be any forward growth. So we can tend towards one side or the other, and we ought to balance our understanding with Scripture that says that we are to ask God for grace. But then, the way that we receive grace is by going and looking into His Word and understanding what He wants. I want to be careful as I say that, because grace is used in different ways. I'm not talking about saving grace, the kind of grace that perhaps you've heard people say, well, if I perform this duty, I get grace, and that's going to help me when I stand before God in heaven. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we are saved by grace, but it's not the grace that we earned. It's the grace that God has given us to save us. So I want to be careful to say that the grace we're talking about in this instance is not God's grace to save us, but it's the grace that God pours out on us. The Holy Spirit works and helps us grow. And so with that in mind, we are going to look at several different passages of Scripture here. You'd have them in your bulletin. I'm going to put them on the screen, but if you have a copy of the Scripture with you, I would encourage you to look these passages up. We're going to look at a few verses on either side of them, but the key ideas we have on the screen, the key verses that we're going to talk about. So first of all, we're going to look at Romans 15, and this is where Paul is talking about God's work through him, but also the work that he has done as a minister to the Gentiles. So we'll pick up in verse 14 to give a little bit of context. I do want to note that as we go through different passages of Scripture like this, I want to be careful not to just say, here's a verse for this, and here's a verse for that, but actually understand what are these passages saying so that we can know for certain that we're not just pulling out words that we like to hear and applying those the way we want to, but really understanding what Scripture says. So in verse 14, Paul writes, I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. But on some points I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder, because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God. For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. And thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. But as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. So if you take verse 17, as we read through that section, Paul is talking about what God has done through him. We've been going through the book of Acts, reminded of how God used Paul in many different cities to accomplish his purpose. But if you took verse 17 and just read that verse, you might think, whoa, that doesn't sound very biblical. Paul says, in Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God. So it's very important that in Christ Jesus part, and to understand the context around it, that Paul is not saying, look at my work. I am a great person. I've accomplished all of this work for God. But he is making the point that he has put in effort. He has worked for God. But then he makes it very clear in verse 18, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and so he makes it explicitly clear that yes, he did this work. He worked hard. But it wasn't him working. It was God working through him. So he worked, but he wasn't doing it in his own strength. It was God giving him to do it. And perhaps as we think about salvation, that helps us see that picture. So when God saves us, it is not something that we've suddenly figured out, well, this is what I need to do. I need to accept Christ as my Savior. Rather, it is God working in us, opening our eyes to the truths of the gospel. And when we look at that, think back to that moment, you know, when I think back to the moment that I was with my mom and she was talking to me about the fact that I needed to accept Christ, and I prayed and asked Christ to save me from my sin, I look back and I say, well, I prayed, and I asked Christ to save me from sin. That's what I remember doing. But when I look at Scripture, I see that it says that God chose me before the foundation of the world, and that God works in me, that God has saved me by His grace. So, on the external side, it looks as though we are working. We are to do something. Okay? But it is not that we are doing this and we get credit for it and we can boast in our work that we've done. But it's rather that Christ gets the glory. And Christ is the one who has worked in us to change us. So, for those of you who have set out to read through your Bible in a particular period of time, you've gotten partway through it, given up, haven't made it all the way through, I would ask you, were you depending on Christ to do that? And I'm not saying it's a sin to stop halfway through and go and study something else. That's perfectly fine. Something else in Scripture, I mean. But if you just quit and you said, well, it's too much work, I'm not going to do that, then you have a responsibility to ask God for help, to depend on His grace to help you move forward. And then, not just to ask Him for help, but then to go and pick up your Bible and set aside time to read and do the things that you ought to be doing to understand God's Word more. So there's an aspect in this passage where there is work that we are to do. We are to work, serve God, but God is the one who gets credit. He gives us grace to do it. In a sense, it's like if you have a cup of water, you want it to be filled, you can walk up to the faucet and just hold it. And if it's a really fancy faucet, it will turn on its own. But we are to turn the faucet on to get the water out. So we actually have to put forth effort of getting the cup, putting it there. But no one's going to say, I got that water. That was me. The water came through the water system. So it is just in that way God pours His grace to us and empowers us to live for Him. And we are responsible to ask for that power. And so as we think about spiritual disciplines, we shouldn't come with the approach of, well, I'm just going to sit here and hope that God puts a thought in my mind to help me understand His Word. But we would sit down and pray and ask God for help and ask to open our eyes and to bring Scripture to our mind, change it. We have a willingness to learn, but it's also God one who works. So then let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to turn over there and see here a section. We're not going to read the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 15. Probably an encouragement as far as time there. But Christ is the focus in this passage, His resurrection, what has been accomplished through Christ's resurrection. And Paul is talking about His standing. And it's really interesting the contrast here between the passage before. We'll pick up in verse 9 here. It says, "For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe." So, this is a really interesting passage. Because Paul is making it very clear. It's almost like, in a sense, he's tripping over himself to say, this is God's grace, but I'm working. But it's God's grace working in me. I want you to make sure that you understand that God's grace is working here, and that I'm also working very hard to do what God has called me to do. And so in this section, Paul makes it very clear. It's interesting, he says, "For I'm the least of the apostles," compared with saying, "I'm proud of my work for God." You know, we see the heart of Paul here. Both of those things are true, that he has reason to be proud of his work for God, not because he deserves anything, but because Christ is glorified through it, and Christ gets the glory for it. So he gives grace. And then, if we flip over to Philippians 2, look at verses 12 through 13 there, we see another passage that makes this very clear, particularly applying to our growth. And this is following the section that we find about Christ's example of humility. When we look at the mindset that we are supposed to have, I think it's really interesting that it falls in that section. Because if you take the first part of Philippians 2, and you meditate on that, and you think about what Christ did for you, that should radically change the way that you treat other people. So as a habit of grace, you meditate, memorize the first part of Philippians 2, you meditate on it and what it means, then God uses that to change the way that we live. And He changes us through the gospel, what Christ has accomplished for us. So we're familiar with this section probably, but it says that we ought to have the same mind, and this mind is the mind of Christ, that we would count others in humility more significant than ourselves. And then he goes through the example of what Christ has accomplished. And then right at the end of that, verse 12, it says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." Here Paul says, work out your own salvation, and then he says, it's God who works in you. So we are to do certain activities, but we are not doing them in our own strength. We ask God for help. We depend on the Lord day by day, that as we are in His Word, as we're faithful to do the things that He's called us to do, that He will change us, that He will pour His grace into us, and through His Holy Spirit transform us as we ought to be transformed. And I think it's so clear here, as it says, verse 13, that God is willing and working for His good pleasure. He's accomplishing His pleasure in us as we work, and as He gives us the grace to be able to work. And how that happens is perhaps a bit of a mystery to us, but we're given the command that we are to work out our own salvation. We know the things that we ought to be doing from Scripture, and God is working in us. And so when we look back at it, we don't say, look at all this stuff that I've done. We say, God's grace made me this way. God's grace is what worked in my heart. So hopefully, if you have come to this idea that you ought to be reading your Bible, you ought to be memorizing Scripture, you ought to be spending time in prayer, those kinds of things, and you've gotten discouraged and felt like, it's a lot of extra stuff to do. How do I do all of that? How can I accomplish that or even be consistent with it? When I've done that in the past, I've had a lot of struggle with consistency. Then these verses should be an encouragement that, yes, we have to work, but we depend on God's grace. Or perhaps you've come with the attitude of, I know I need to do these things, and you've been very faithful and consistent to read your Bible and pray. But at times you felt like, I don't know, I feel like this is just something that I do every day, and I don't feel like I'm learning, growing. Then these verses can be an encouragement as well, that yes, we are to work, but we also expect God is the one who's working through us. We depend on His grace. So much like when we share the gospel with someone and we say, my responsibility is to share the gospel with them, and then God works through His word to accomplish salvation in that person, changes their heart. When we come to God's word and we seek to pull it in, whether that's through hearing it, reading it, or meditating on it, we come and we do the work, we spend the time, we put the time in, as we might think of with exercise, we have to put the time in, but then God is the one who transforms us, works in our hearts. We have two more passages that give us this idea or reinforce this idea that we ought to be working to grow, but also that God is the one who's working in us. Colossians 1, the next one. So we're working through the order in Scripture. That's the order that we're going through these verses here. And this is Paul talking about his preaching and how he has been faithful to proclaim Christ. He's saying in verse 21, Him we proclaim, speaking of Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. So he's talking about his ministry has been preaching God's word, preaching who Christ is. And for this I toil, struggling, look at this, with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. He says, I toil with God's energy that works. That's incredible to think about. That the apostle here is saying, I'm working, but God is giving me the energy to work. So there's no way that I can say, this is me, what I'm doing. But rather, as I depend on Him, He gives me the grace to be able to live for Him. Let's flip over to Hebrews 13:20. Hebrews 13:20, and we're going to look at verses 20 and 21. Well, and there's this encouragement that God is the one who works in us and changes us, equips us to be pleasing in His sight. This is the benediction for the book of Hebrews. And the author writes this, Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So again, very clearly, God is the one that's working in us, changing us. He's equipping us so that we can do His will. So this pattern of we are working, God is the one working in us. Anytime we accomplish something for God's glory, we are to do that thing, but give God the glory by pouring His grace to us. And He's the one that's working. And then finally, as we talk about how God works in us, that we are to put effort in, but He is the one that gives us grace. 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11, it's a few pages over, gives us more clarity and a reminder talking about the church with the gifts that God has given to us. It says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So God has given us grace. We are stewards. That's a caretaker, someone who is caring for something on behalf of someone else. We are stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So as you look at these verses, it says that each of us has a gift. Each person, he's writing to people in the church, each of us has a spiritual gift that we are to use to build each other up. And that doesn't have an age qualification. If you're 8 years old, or 12 years old, or 30 years old, or 50, or 70, or 90, each person who knows Christ as their Savior has a spiritual gift, and we are to serve one another with it. And as we do that, God has poured His grace into us. He's given us this grace. And that is how we live it out, is by using these gifts that God has given. It says, one who serves is to do it by the strength that God supplies. And why is it that we do it that way? We could do things in our own strength, but who gets glory for that? It's very tempting to say, hey, I worked really hard and I accomplished this thing. But then we're saying, look at me, what I've done. Rather, as we look to God for strength, help us, then God gets the glory. And that's very clear in this passage, that God is the one who is glorified through Jesus Christ, and He's the one that the glory and dominion belong to. So that's exactly where it ought to be. So this should be our motivation. God has said, you are to work, and if you work, as you do this, as you are faithful, I will pour my grace. This is not something that we say, oh, I'm strong, I'm going to do this, but it's God working in us, gives us these desires, God fills us with His grace, and says, I'm going to give you grace. Paul used the term energy. I'm going to give you the energy that you need to serve me and to accomplish what is in my sight. So if you want to please God in the coming year, in the rest of your life, beyond that, whatever time you have left on this earth, then we need to be exercising these habits of grace. We need to be doing these things that will allow us to know God better and as a result, to live in a way that's Him. So then as we look at the next point here, the idea, if we are to put in effort, God gives us grace but expects us to put in effort, then we say, okay, good, I know what I need to do. I'm going to go home. I'm going to pick out a Bible reading plan. I'm going to do that. I'm going to set up a memorization plan. I'm going to plan time in my schedule for meditation. I'm going to plan when I'm going to pray. I'm going to read books about prayer and find out the words that I need to say, the way that I ought to pray, make sure when I pray I cover these five things. And I'm not discrediting any of those methods. Those are good things. It's good to have a plan as to what we do. But we can fall into the trap of saying, here's my plan, I'm checking it off every day, I am going to grow spiritually. But the problem with that is that growth is not the goal. There's a person that is the goal. And so, as we think about why we ought to pursue these activities, spiritual disciplines, knowing Christ is the goal, not growing. And I myself have fallen into this trap multiple times where I say, okay, I know I need to be reading my Bible, so I'm going to read 3 chapters a day, and I'll write about what I'm learning, and this is going to help me grow. But when you are reading, the temptation can be to say, am I finished yet? Did I finish that chapter? How many verses do I have left? Looks like I need to read really fast so that I can get to the next thing I'm supposed to do. And we just fall into the habit of just doing it instead of realizing that we have to pursue Christ and that He is the goal. If we get to the end of our lives and we've read through the Bible 50 times and we've memorized the whole New Testament, that may or may not be a good thing. We may not have grown as we did those things. But if we are pursuing Christ and we do those things, then great. We're learning more about God, and that's going to transform us, and it will change us. As I was thinking about that, a picture came into my mind about when I was training to run a marathon. And as I planned that out, I had a plan of how many miles I needed to run each week, each given day in those weeks. I knew what I needed to do, but the problem was I got so focused on the goal of finishing the miles that I ended up injuring myself different times. I would get really tired from all the miles I was running, and then I would trip on a sidewalk or do other things that would really hinder me being able to even keep up those miles. And then when I got to the marathon, I was starting out already a little bit tired and worn out, and I wasn't ready to run it. But if I had had my goal as actually being healthy when I got to that point, run that day, and I focused on the things that would help me get there, like other things besides just running, like doing strength training, stretching, those kinds of things, and had focused on those things, not as the goal in themselves either, but saying, here's the date that I need to be strong, ready to go for this activity, then I would have been a lot more prepared than I just, rather than just focusing on, I need to knock out these miles, I need to check off this list, and I'll be good. So my focus wasn't on the right goal. And if, as believers, we say, okay, I just want to grow, so I'm just going to do these things and then I'm going to grow. Well, it doesn't work that way. We have to pursue Christ, the one that changes us. And how do we know that? Well, look at Philippians 3, verses 7 through 8. Here, Paul writes, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." If you look at these verses, the context of these verses here, you're going to see that Paul was talking about giving up things that seemed good at the time. He's talking about having confidence in the flesh. In verse 3, he says, "I have confidence in the flesh. I have followed all of these rules. And I was very zealous in my persecuting of the church. And I was righteous according to the law," in verse 6. "But whatever gain I had, I counted these things as loss because I wanted to know Christ." That was the goal. I was busy doing all of these things. And he's talking about, in this case, how he was saved out of that he pointed towards Christ, looked towards Christ, Christ transformed him. But we can't have as our goal doing things, checking things off. Our goal has to be knowing Christ. And so, when we are in the midst of our plans to grow spiritually, if we're talking about reading through the Bible here, maybe you realize, I bit off more than I could chew. When I try and read 10 chapters a day, I don't really get to focus on what those chapters are saying. I'm too focused on finishing my goal. So maybe you cut it back, 2 or 3 chapters, or 5 verses, or whatever it is that you need to be able to focus on understanding what you're learning about God from His Word. Maybe it's you have a devotional guide that you're going through, but you're just trying to get it done, whatever time of day it is. You're just trying to race through this and get it accomplished so that I can say, oh, I had my devotion. But think about the fact that our devotions, our devotional time, isn't just showing, it's not showing our devotion to God. It's spending time getting to know Him. That has to be the goal. And so, slow it down. Take a different time of the day when you can focus and understand what you're reading. And perhaps you come to it at one point in the day and that's your scheduled time and you're just having a hard time focusing. Well, maybe say, I'm going to go do some other thing, and then I will come back. Now, be really careful, because that can be tempting to do that and then not actually get back to doing it. And if you don't read your Bible, you're not going to learn more about God, and so you're not going to grow. But pick the times that you can focus. And don't try to take too much on. Focus on the fact that our goal is to know Christ, not to talk to someone else and say, hey, I did all of this work. I'm reading through my Bible every 3 months, and I'm just consuming God's Word so quickly. Rather focus on the fact that our goal is knowing Christ, because He's the one that's going to transform us. And then in the midst of Christ's high priestly prayer, in John 17, we find this verse. Christ says, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus, whom you have sent. This chapter is Christ praying for us and what He wants us to be like, the things that He wants God to do in our hearts. And so He is saying that this is what eternal life is. It is that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Think about that. You can experience eternal life right now. As you get to know God better day by day, perhaps particular practices will help us along the way to do that. As we get to know God better day by day, that is experiencing eternal life. And maybe we've thought about eternal life as something that comes beyond the grave, and that will be wonderful, be able to be with God. Right now, we can experience that kind of eternal life as we experience knowing God. And we don't do that by just sitting and thinking about God. We do it by looking into His Word, studying what it says, speaking to God in prayer. Those are the things that will help us to know God better. So I'm, of course, not saying don't read your Bible, don't pray, but I'm saying make sure that our focus is in the right place, that it's pursuing Christ. It's not just doing certain things. And then the last set of verses here for this section. Look at Jeremiah 9:23-24. I love these verses. This is what God says through the prophet Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. So there is no better pursuit for us to pursue in this coming year than knowing God. And whatever means that we do, whatever activities we engage in order to know Him better, can't let those become the end. End and the goal has to be to know God better. And that's better than these things that are listed. That's better than having wisdom. Of course, in this passage, the idea of wisdom is focused on practical life skills for this earth. How do we live? He says, don't worry about might or mightiness. Think about, we were talking about at the beginning of the year, we may have goals to hit certain fitness levels. Perfectly fine, but that can't be our priority. That can't be the top thing on our list. Also, don't let the rich man boast in his riches. Maybe at the beginning of the year you set financial goals. Perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with setting goals and pursuing them. But they need to fall in line with the right priority. And the top priority has to be knowing God, because that's the only thing that has eternal value. This is what God delights in. And so as we think about the idea of spiritual discipline, we need to have the focus on knowing Christ, knowing who God is, not on just growing, thinking, well, if I grow spiritually, do these activities, then I'm going to be in a better place in my walk with God. We pursue God instead. So I mentioned at the beginning, I think there's something that might help us think through the idea of spiritual disciplines a little more clearly. Maybe for those of you who are younger, when you think of the idea of discipline, that kind of has a negative connotation for you. Discipline is good. It helps us to get into the bounds that we're supposed to be in. So the idea with spiritual disciplines is we're going to follow the practices that we ought to practice. But I recently came across a book in the last few years called Habits of Grace by a man named David Mathis. I would recommend that book. It's encouraging to read. Of course, with any book, read with discretion, pair it with your scriptures. But I really like the title of that book, and that's the subject that he's discussing, spiritual discipline. There's another good book, Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life by Donald Whitney. I'll send out these recommendations to you all as well. But I really like the title, Habits of Grace, because it communicates the two sides of what we are to do as we do these things, like reading our Bible as we pray. We're to engage in habits. It's something that we need to do regularly to have a regular pattern of doing these activities. But it's of grace. It's not us. It's not that I'm really good at following this practice over and over again. It's God working in our lives. And so as we talk about these things together, as we talk about how we will engage in these activities, I'll probably use the term habits of grace a lot to help us think about the fact that we ought to build these habits, and that these habits will help us to grow to know God better. It's not something that I'm just engaging in as an activity, but it's with a purpose, to know God better. And so, as we think about that, I want to close each time that we talk about these things with questions that you could take and talk about with your family. I'll talk about them a little bit here, but you could also invite someone out for ice cream after the service and go talk about these things together. If that helps you to get together and talk about that thing, you know, this is kind of something I sprung on you, so you don't have to do it tonight necessarily. But if you like ice cream, you might as well. So there are questions that you can discuss with someone else, with another believer, your spouse, but I would encourage you also to do that with someone else at church and answer these questions and talk through them and think about how do we apply these truths that we've talked about this evening. So the first question here would be, what habits of grace do you believe you need to grow in this year? And of course, we have the caveat that I just finished saying, growth is not the goal. Knowing Christ is the goal. But I think to get that focus, we do need to think through what kind of areas are we perhaps not doing very well in. So think about Bible intake. How do we get the Bible from pages of Scripture into our heads, and we say into our hearts. Obviously, we're not talking about the physical heart, but the emotions and thinking through it and digesting it. How do we do that? So we would read our Bible. We would listen to preaching from God's Word. We would listen to Scripture read at times, meditate on God's Word, memorize God's Word. And so those are things that we might do as areas of Bible intake. And we're going to talk about those specific things. But just at the beginning, I think it would be helpful for us to think through, what are the areas that I'm not doing that well in? How often do you read your Bible? How frequently, how much of your Bible are you reading through on a regular basis? And I'm not saying that if you have to compare with someone else and say, well, I'm not doing as much as that person, or I'm doing way more than that person, so I'm either really unspiritual or I'm very spiritual. But just think through, how consistent are you? Consistency is really the key to this. Also, how often do you spend time memorizing God's Word? I know that when I was in Sunday school, that was a very easy thing. Every week, my teacher said, here's the verse to memorize. But as an adult, it's a little bit harder because I have to pick out the verses. And I have to remember at a different time. I'm not going to come to ABF class and have the teacher ask, what's the verse? And I say it to him and I get a sticker on my chart. I'm not going to do that. And so it's really easy for me to go without memorizing Scripture as much as I should. I'm thinking about meditating on Scripture as well. It's so easy with all the busyness of life, all the things coming at us. As soon as we finish what we're supposed to do, we know, reading our Bible, prayer, that kind of thing, to pick up the phone and just start looking at things we need to do that day, or to get lost in email or distraction or other things like that, and not stop, pause, and really think through what God is teaching us from His Word. So think through the habits of grace. Perhaps your prayer life, you feel like, you know, I really want to grow in that. I think that's pretty common, that as we think about how much we pray, we say, well, I'd really like to grow in that. But think about, is that something that I need to grow in? Or perhaps your interaction with other believers, fellowship, the time that you spend with other believers. How often do you have iron sharpening iron kind of conversations with other believers? That's a practice that, sure, we can let it happen in the hallways after church. That's a possibility. But I think if we planned it, if we planned out a frequent, regular basis, maybe once a month, maybe every other week, maybe every week, whatever you can start with, to get together with another believer and talk about the things that you're learning from God's Word and encourage each other. These are practices that are going to help us to get to know God better. And it's how God has set us up to grow. So think about that question. How can you keep the folk, or what habits of grace do you believe you need to grow in this year? And then a second question to think about, how can you keep the focus of practicing habits of grace on knowing God more instead of just doing them out of a sense of duty? So we talked tonight that our focus needs to be on knowing God. Our focus should be on knowing Christ, getting to know Him, but we face this human tendency to make everything a list of things that I check off and then I'm finished. What are ways that you can remind yourself? What are ways that you can keep the focus on God? For an example, maybe when you come to read your scriptures now, your typical practice is look at the passage that you're supposed to read, read through it, and then pray about what you've read. That's good, but if I start by talking with God, it doesn't have to be a really long time necessarily, but if I start and I ask God to help me to know Him better through His Word, I ask Him to show me what He wants me to learn today, then I am starting out, I can say the words, but if I'm really meaning it, I'm starting out by saying, God, I'm depending on You. I can't read this and be enlightened on it on my own. I need Your Spirit's guidance. So we're just acknowledging that. We're casting our dependence on God. So we can have certain practices that will help us to keep the focus on knowing Christ and not just on doing this activity. It's pretty easy to just do something, but when we start talking about interacting with someone, that takes it to a new level. Perhaps we can say, I'm going to talk to my spouse about this or this friend about what I'm learning, because that's going to take it to a new level that I can't just say, read my Bible, checked it off, but I actually have to say, what did I learn? What am I learning about God? I need to be able to communicate that to someone. And of course, that could have any of these practices that we do, we could just get in the habit of doing them and not really pursue Christ. We just need to think consistently, how am I turning my focus back to knowing Christ? And ask God to help us to do that on a regular basis. So as we take time over the next few weeks to talk about how do we get the Bible into our hearts, how do we pray to God, what kind of things ought we to be doing in that regard, how do we fellowship with one another in a way that builds each other up on a regular basis, as we talk through those different habits of grace, I would encourage you, go ahead and discuss these questions with each other. And think about areas that you recognize, hey, I need to grow in this area, and start praying about it. And perhaps that person you discuss it with would be willing to pray for you as well, that God would work. Because, as we said, these are not just habits. They're not just things we do. They're habits of grace. We need God's help to do them. And as we focus on Him, we can grow to know Him better. So I hope that as you think about this new year, it's an opportunity to start fresh and to really refocus on how we can grow, know God better this year, so that at the end of the year, we can look back and maybe that we met the goal of whatever kind of Bible reading we wanted to do or growing in our prayer, how frequently we pray or how much we use Scripture in prayer, those kinds of things. But we can definitely look back at the end of the year and say, I know God a little bit better. I know God more because by His grace, I depended on Him and He worked in my heart as I was diligent to seek Him. And now I'm closer to Him than I was at the beginning of the year. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to be able to look back and to see? And perhaps if you've taken another brother or sister in Christ or a family member, spouse, child, parent, along with you on that journey, you can both say, we've been able to encourage each other by God's grace, know God better. Let's pray together and ask God for help to be able to look for Him. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word and the clarity that it has, even in the midst of teaching us complicated things. As we think about how we ought to live in a way that's pleasing to You, make it clear that we are to be diligent in getting to know You. And yet, You've promised that You are the one who gives us the grace to know You in the way that we ought to be able to please You. It's not dependent on us. And so we ask tonight that as we pursue understanding better what Your Word says about how to get to know You over the next few weeks, You would give us the grace to be able to do that, to be faithful to You. Please help us to be motivated as well, that this is not something that we just get excited about at the beginning of the year and it tapers off over the course of months, and then by the end of the year we're barely getting to know You more at all, but rather that we would uphold each other in prayer and that we would depend on Your grace to be able to be changed as we are faithfully engaging in activities that will help us get to know You better. Pray that You would give us strength for the coming week. Help us be able to grow over the next week in our love for You and our desire to know You more as we look at Your Word. Christ's name.